The end of summer, we're in the fall weather. I hope that you can join us, some of you, with our campus cleanup. I'm looking forward to being, I'm going to be a part of that too, so it'll be a great day as we kind of get things ready. Well, I hope that you're enjoying our journey through Exodus in this series called Homeschool. And I know for some of us, we're brand new to the Old Testament, right? Or we're just going to read the New Testament, but we really need to understand the whole Bible is about Jesus. The whole Bible is about redemption. And you see that in every book. Now, there are some places we go like, you know, I just don't understand that. I don't get that. Well, welcome to the club. Me too. You know, we're all there. But I will tell you this. The theme of redemption and the story of Jesus is through every book of the Bible. I'm in Leviticus now. It's amazing what you begin to see when you understand, you look at through that theme. What we often do, and I think I mentioned this about a week ago or so, is that we look at books like Exodus, and we kind of view them through our event lens. So this event happened, then this event happened, and that's kind of what we focus on. And they did happen, but there's a story there that we can't miss because it's a story of Jesus. Sometimes we kind of reduce, I'll maybe use that word, the book of Exodus down to event like the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, and we even have songs about that as well, right? There's another event that took place that you would recognize in the book of Exodus. It was the giving of the Ten Commandments, right? So God gave the Ten Commandments, and for many of us, we even know them by heart. I'm pretty confident, though, in saying that I think our kids, knowing our children's ministries, I think our kids probably would do a better job reciting the Ten Commandments. I'm going to test you. Are you ready? You didn't know you were going to have a test today online. Be honest, right? Even though I can't see you, right? What's the first commandment? I heard that what? Okay, well, let's see it right here. We'll see how well you do. You shall have no other gods before me, right? This commandment is against worshiping any other god, small g, other than the one true God. Other gods are false gods. I give you the second one. Are you ready? Here we go. We're going to go right through them. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Actually going to talk about that next week, so don't miss next week. We're going to look at an event, and we're going to let it take us to how we sometimes do that. Number three, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, right? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. How are you doing that? And we'll talk a little bit in future about what that means now. Honor your father and your mother. And every parent said, amen. Amen. Online too, okay. You shall not murder your kid. No, okay. That just came out right there, okay. You shall not, right. You shall not murder. All right. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. So now if we took them all off the screen, how would you do? Yeah, some of us are kind of working through. But I've got good news for you in just a few moments, a way to remember all of the Ten Commandments. How are we to understand the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and do they apply today? Does this law apply today? You see, for many of us, we mistakenly kind of view the Ten Commandments as a rigid set of rules that if we just follow them, we can gain entrance into eternal life with Jesus. It's kind of a transactional type of a way that we approach it. We approach it with kind of like bargaining chips, right? So God, if I do this, and I do this, and I carry out this commandment, and I carry out this commandment, if I do them all, then, you know, obviously I'm going to get myself into heaven, right? Well, there's a story in Mark chapter 10. That I think we should reflect on for just a moment, because this is really the question of the rich man. So if you have your Bible, Mark chapter 10, verse number 19. So a man runs up to Jesus, and he says, this good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So it's like, what do I need to do? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And then Jesus goes on. He goes like this. You know the commandments. Do not murder, right? Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And I think at that moment, there had to be that moment where the rich man is going like, okay, check, 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 right? I'm doing all of these things. Now I can inherit eternal life, right? That's that transactional relationship. If I do this, I will get this, right? It's a bargaining chip. But Jesus says this. Oh, and the rich man responded. And he said to him, teacher, All of these I've kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, and I love this, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. You see, here's the interesting thing. Here's what I think. That if this man would have said, look, I've done that, and you actually took and actually gave a lot of money to the poor, still would have not received the answer that he thought he should have from Jesus. Because it's not a list of, you know, if you do this, you do this, you do this, and then you finally get into heaven, right? It's a heart issue. And of course, Jesus points us to the heart when it comes to our finances. Look, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. It's a matter of the heart. Jesus zeroed in on something that he had drawn away from. It was the heart. And in this case, his heart was drawn away because of his personal wealth. It's a heart issue. It's who we are, and it's whose we are. It's who we belong to. Jesus' idea of obedience moves us beyond religious observance or following this list of rules. It moves us beyond the list of rules, focusing not only on the things we do, but who we are. Going to talk about that this morning. Only the gospel changes the heart and can lead to lasting change in our lives. Your set of rules, right, that we might be following will not change your heart. It's only the gospel that changes the heart and leads to lasting change. A heart completely devoted to God will change, listen now, the way you live, the way you think, and the way that you act. I'm going to say it again because it's important. A heart that's completely devoted to God will change the way you live, the way that you act, and the way that you react. If our actions do not change as a follower of Jesus, if our attitudes toward others do not change, if the way we think does not change, then our heart is not fully devoted to God. Now, I understand that all of us, myself, every one of us, there are areas in our life where we need to grow and mature. But is our heart devoted to the Lord? We are to live out God in all of our life. Our actions are to match our words. Now, when I was in, I think I was in the sixth grade, might have been the fifth grade, my Sunday school teacher had some words above the door. And they were these words, and you have probably heard them. Talk the walk, walk the talk, right? You got that? You've heard that? Okay, two hands up if you've heard it in live people here and online, like shout, do something, blank, whatever. Talk the walk, walk the talk. And of course, what that's just saying, like if you talk it, if you're you're a follower of Jesus and you talk it, then you better walk it. Because people are going to notice the difference. Years ago, before I went into pastoral ministry, just a long time ago now, I worked with a guy who talked the walk. But when it came to walking the talk, there was a huge disconnect. Let me tell you what happened. There were times and there were days when this person would absolutely use the most foul language you could ever use. And it wasn't just the language, right? It was the way that he acted and the way that he reacted. But then he would talk about being a follower of Jesus. And I will tell you, amongst the friends, my circle that I was in, people who were not followers of Jesus say, if that's a Christian, if that's a follower of Jesus, then I don't think I want it. You see, the gospel changes our heart. It changes who we are. It changes how we act and how we react and how we live out our life. It changes our attitudes. We are to live out God in all of life. Now, the Ten Commandments, that list we just went through, that's a summary of the over 600 laws given to the Israelites. So God takes over 600 and narrows them down to 10. Now, for those of us who maybe struggled with the 10, I got good news for you. Jesus takes the 10 and summarizes them into two. And everybody here can understand and know what the two are. We'll get to those two in just a second. But here's what we understand about the ten. They're relational. The first four deal with our relationship with God. The next six deal with the relationship with one another. So in other words, how we live this thing out. So we're in relationship with God, and then this is how we live it out, life out relationally with one another. So the key word is relational. So the Ten Commandments are all relational. Then Jesus says, now, I will add just a little bit here. And Jesus said, like, I know you're going to have a hard time remembering the ten. So I'm just going to narrow it down to two for you. Are you happy about that? I am. Here it is, Matthew chapter 22. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Right? So do what? Love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So we go from 600 to 10 to 2. Love God, love others. Every one of us can remember those two. What's taking place here? When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had answered the Sadducees, right, they send in an expert of the law because there's this debate going on. Which commandment is more important? Which one's the most important? What's going on here? And this is how Jesus answers them. See, Israel's obedience would reflect the nature of God to the world around them as a concrete expression of their devotion to God. Think about it. As they walked in obedience to God, this would say something to the world around them. What was so often seen was their disobedience, or the example, or the way that this life was lived out. The same is true for followers of Jesus today, those of us who claim to be a follower of Jesus. God's law establishes a separate and unique identity for God's people. I'll just say it this way. We're to be different because we are different. We're followers of Jesus. As we live our life devoted to God, made perfect through Jesus Christ, we will be noticed as different. Now, that's not a bad place to say amen by lifting up both your hands because you can't see your faces if you're alive or out there too. As we live out our life devoted to God, made perfect through Jesus Christ, we will be noticed as different. We'll be noticed as different in our speech, in how we act, and how we react to others, in our actions and in our love. Because as the world pulls us one way, our love for God and our devotion to Him draw us closer to Himself. As we become more and more like Jesus, we will become more and more different than the world around us. So as we consider the summary of the Ten Commandments, love God, love people, three questions surface. I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to come back and answer them, okay? Three questions surface. Number one, what is God's nature? That's number one. Number two, what are we called to as followers of Jesus? And number three, how is that reflected in our life? So as we consider this summary of the Ten Commandments given by Jesus in Matthew, we just read it, love God, love people, what is God's nature, what are we called to, and how is it reflected in our life? What is God's nature? It's love. Now, say this as clear as I can. He is not a God who happens to love. He is love. And there's a difference. You know, God is just like, okay, I'm going to love today. No, He is love. God's nature is love. What are you and I called to do as followers of Jesus? We're to love God. Love God, love others. What's His nature? Love. What are we called to do? Love God. How is that reflected in life? We're to love others. Hashtag love everybody. God is love. We love God. It's reflected in our life through how we love others. Everyone. God does not show partiality or favoritism. We ought to be thankful for that, each and every one of us. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says it clearly, for God shows no partiality. God loves. We are called to love in that way. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. The teaching is clear to you and me today from God's word. Love is right. Favoritism is sin. By not living a life of favoritism, we actually live out our love for the Lord. As we are seen as different, you and me, in the world today, and we live out our life in this way, what is demonstrated is our love and our devotion to God. Now, I'm going to give you 4 points, and I just ask you to write them down, think about them, memorize them if you have that ability to do that, because I think they're really, really important. Number one, if your love for and action towards others is based on some economic scale, that is sin. I want you to just think about that for a moment. If you love others more because of some economic scale, whatever that is, and you act differently towards them than you do towards the other person, that is sin. Listen to James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in the front row, you have a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges? All right, listen to this now, with evil thoughts. Love God, love people, no favoritism, no partiality. Number two, if your love for others is driven by what others see, that is sin. Let me try to clarify that. If you do things in order to be recognized for whatever that is, let me show you how I love people. And that's your motivation. That is sin. What I say and what I do and what I post, if it's only done for others to see and point others to me, that is wrong and that is sin, if that's the only motivation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. In other words, that's your motive right there. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Number three, they get tougher, by the way. I just warn you right now. If your love for others is based on how they love you back, that is sin. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or even respond. Just think about it. If you love others because, yeah, they love me, so I will love them back, that is sin. Love God, love others. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Now, I understand the challenge of that at times. I do. It's not easy in our own strength. In fact, I'll say it, I don't think we can do it in our own strength. To love those who don't love us back, to love those who might even do harm to us, how can we do that? It's only as we're enabled by the Spirit of God, as we live out this life devoted to Him. But I say, love your enemies, and do good those to hate you. Number four, if you love people, if your love for people is based on the color of their skin, that is sin. And that is the sin of racism. Waldie Bachman is someone that I follow. He probably said it best, I think. He said, we are all the race of Adam. One race, one blood. Or as my friend Doc Fernandez says it, there's only one human race. All human beings were created in the image and likeness of God. God loved the world, and the world includes all, every ethnic group. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. We are one people. Christ himself is the peace between Jewish and Gentile believers, having made the two groups one, having destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. There is to be no division. The command of Jesus is to love one another and to do so as he has loved us. So John chapter 13, verse 14 or 34 is so clear. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. How did he love you? How did he love me? He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. We're to love one another in that way. If God is impartial and loves you and he loves me with impartiality, then we must do the same. As followers of Jesus and as a faith community, people who have come together under Jesus, as a faith community who believes in, teaches from, does our best to live from a biblical worldview, there is simply no other option if we're to be followers of Jesus. If we treat one another with contempt, we are mistreating a person created in God's image. We hurt that person and we damage our witness for Christ. Racism in varying degrees and forms has been a plague on our humanity for thousands of years. We must change. We must do better. But to do better means we must live out God's command to love one another. It's a heart change. Those who practice racism, prejudice, and discrimination of any kind need to repent. Repentance needs to be sought, and repentance needs to be received. It needs to be extended. Where does it start? It starts in the heart. Let me say something that might challenge you. If it starts in a book that you're reading, if that's what you're depending upon, a book, I'm not talking about the Bible, and that book is used to build your system of thought or your worldview, you are building a house on the sand. It doesn't start with the most current thought or the most current book or the most current author. I am thankful for books to help to bring clarity to God's word. But it must begin with, it must be based on God's word. Otherwise, it's a house of sand. And Jesus talks about this, that when the pressure comes and the rains fall, houses built on sand disappear. We're talking about the firm foundation that God's word provides. So I say, parents, use the books, but do not start with the books. Start with God's word. Why? Because books change. People change. Our way of thinking changes. God's word never changes, is what we must base our life on. It must be our foundation that we live out this life. It must be what we teach and what we believe and what we teach is why. I didn't say this at the last gathering. You won't say it now. It's why I'm such a believer in Gateway Schools. When science is taught, it's taught from a biblical worldview. When our existence is taught from a biblical worldview. What we teach from a biblical worldview. It's the foundation that we're to build our lives on. But where does it start? It starts with a heart devoted to the Lord. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Paul in Acts 26, he's telling his story to King Agrippa. And near the end of his story, he talks about a repentant heart. And he asks this question, like, where are the deeds that come from a repentant heart? Now, we need to understand what he's saying. He was not saying deeds lead to a repentant heart, but deeds are seen as a result of a heart that's repentant. In other words, if your life has been changed, if my life has been changed by Jesus, it's going to be seen, it's going to be viewed by how we act, by our deeds, by how we live our life. Two scriptures for you. Number one, this is our prayer. This is our prayer out of Galatians chapter 3, verse 20. Our prayer and our commitment as followers of Jesus and as a faith community, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is our prayer. This is our future out of Revelation. Chapter 7, verses 9, and after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb of God. Listen, we're all going to be there. People from every nation, every tribe, every ethnic group. That's our future. In just a moment, we're going to be gathering in communion. Last week, Brian Wallen, who is one of our elders here at Gateway, stopped me and he shared something with me that I believe was a word from the Lord. So I credit Brian this week, and then next week, I'm going to take it as my own, okay? I'm going to share it with you. It's really simple, and you can remember it, and it's going to lead us into our time around the table this morning. And what I believe is how we will take to heart the teaching today. It's the word why, W-H-Y, why. He says, I really believe that the Lord shared this with me, and I think he's right. This is an acronym, right? So W stands for wait. In just a moment, we're going to wait on the Lord. And as we gather around the communion table, in your home and whatever you have, might be your next sip of coffee and a piece of toast, I don't know. They're just symbols. We're going to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to me. I'm going to invite you to do the same. God, speak to us. We're going to wait on you. Because H stands for hear. Hear. God, what is it you're saying to me? What about my life? Where do you want to nudge me in one direction or the other? I have taught this at Gateway for a long time. Taught about conviction, that the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict us, to remind us of those things that we're not doing, that we need to be doing as followers of Jesus. And so as we wait, we're going to hear the voice of the Spirit nudging us. And I say this, embrace conviction. Don't push it away, right? Sometimes conviction, because it touches that spot, we tend to push it away, but we're to embrace it because that's the Spirit of God saying, there's something there I want to work on in your life, something that's creating a division maybe, an area for you to grow, an area for me to grow. So we wait, we hear. And Y stands for yield. Yield. Because we respond to him. We respond to the Spirit. So I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a moment, and we're going to wait. I'm going to invite us just to pause for a moment and then hear from the Lord and then yield to Him. For some of you, I'm going to pray for you. Some of you have never yielded your life to the Lord. You've never given your heart to Him. You've never made Him Lord of your life. I'm going to lead you in prayer. It's a simple prayer, and I've said this too. There are no magic words, right? No formula. But I'm going to pray. If you pray this prayer from your heart, then you'll enter into a brand new relationship with Jesus. I'm then going to pray for those of us who perhaps are hearing from the Spirit this morning that there's an area in our life that we need to change. Maybe we haven't loved people like we should love people. Maybe there's something, maybe we have fallen into the sin of partiality, of showing favoritism, or doing things for our own personal recognition, or maybe pride has come in, or maybe we have treated people different for all kinds of reasons. As we pray, as we hear that, we're going to yield to Him. So, Father, I pray right now with the one or more who may be entering into a brand new relationship with You. That's you. The prayer is simple. Jesus, I ask You to forgive me. I ask You into my life. I want to make You Lord of my life. I want to yield my life to You. I have pretty well messed it up. And I'm asking You to take control. I'm asking You to take my life and make me a brand new person. I give my heart. I give my life to You. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, if we say those words, we confess to Him, He's faithful and just, and He forgives us, and He cleanses us. We come to Him in childlike faith. And so if you just lift that prayer to Him today, for the very first time, you enter into a brand new relationship with God the Father through Jesus. Maybe you're sensing that conviction this morning of how you have lived out your life, or maybe the Spirit just saying, look, I just want to change this part, and you're going to yield to Him today. Let's just give that to whatever it is. It's going to be different for all of us, but we yield to the One. We respond to the Spirit today. So, Father, we give our life to You. We give our hearts to You today. As we gather together around Your table, different places, we're in our homes, we're across the world, we're in RVs, we're in living rooms, different settings, here live. We recognize that we serve the one living God who is in all and over all. You sent Your Son Jesus into the world for all of us. He died for the world. Your body was broken that we might be made whole in every way, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So we celebrate that today. Your blood was shed so that all who would come to You would come to know the forgiveness and life in Jesus. In Your name we pray, amen. Let's take the bread together, shall we? And then the cup that just is a symbol of His shed blood. Jesus, we give You thanks today in Your name. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you're live with us in the room, would you stand? Let's sing together. Join us.
Let earth and heaven be saints, bro.